Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick. He's the senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Sean, they said inflation in the U.S. was a little less than they expected. Is this a good sign for investors?
Well, it depends on what your investments are in, but the way it's been working out, it's certainly good for gold, and perhaps you want to save that to speak about later, but I just have to touch on the fact that because the Fed is saying maybe they don't have to hike as much, and perhaps they're looking for an exit, and this is all perhaps and conditional and all that stuff. That's one thing people have to understand, is that the Fed is still saying maybe, but that's not how the market is reacting. The way the market is reacting is like the Fed will be winding up its rate hikes, if not in December, then in January. You know, that's basically the way the market is reacting. And because of that, and remember, it's all a string of dominoes, it's all connected, because of that, the U.S. dollar is going lower. And because the U.S. dollar is going lower, what's priced in dollars? Commodities. Gold and silver especially, they are breaking out. And so that's really good news if you're, say, an investor in precious metals, because, you know, this is basically what they've been waiting for. There were a lot of good reasons for precious metals to rally anyway, and they weren't because the dollar was rallying. Now if the dollar's going down, that's just going to be just an afterburner for gold and silver and most metals, basically, to move higher.
Is it good news for the junior miners who have been struggling for years?
Well, you know, they are so down, so beaten down, that there is plenty of value there. If you look around, you just have to buy the right ones. Of course, I say that and people are listening and say, well, it was that easy, we'd all be millionaires. And I understand that. But really, look for solid companies with a timeline to production, and I think you'll be okay. You know, as long as they have the money or can get the money to really finance that mine, then they'll be all right. Or else, if, say, they're in production, but they have more projects in the pipeline, well, then they'll just be printing money going ahead, won't they? They might be a junior, but that's rock-solid results they're going to have coming out. So, yeah, I mean, for the junior miners, it could be really good. Of course, what Wall Street focuses on first, and yeah, this is all just part of the game, right? They are going to focus on the big miners because, naturally, they're producing more gold, so they have a lot more leverage to the dollar going down. So that's just how it's going to work out for them. And that's great. You know, I mean, certainly that's not hurting my portfolio. So I'm happy to see this move. I think the pullbacks can be bought. If you want to go into the junior miners, you know, good luck to you. I'll probably be buying junior miners as well. And that's where we get the really big moves, isn't it? But, you know, if you just want to beef up your portfolio, now's a time on pullbacks to pick up those larger miners, because, again, there'll be money-printing machines going forward.
With the juniors, it's always a case, so you have to do some diligent research. You can't believe the publicity. Is looking at management the most important?
Yes, it is. And a good way to tell that a miner has let's say, challenges, is how much is being talked up on Twitter. If, like, they've made deals with all these guys to talk them up on Twitter and on websites and stuff, maybe they don't have all that it takes. You know, maybe they're going to have a rougher road. That doesn't mean they can't succeed, you know, but those who can succeed are working at it anyway. They aren't paying for big publicity splashes because they know what they're doing. They know they're probably going to be bought up, right? Because if gold does break out, well, the big miners have been underinvesting for years. They're going to have to buy some production from somewhere. And those miners that have either production or near-term production or both and have some more in the pipeline that a big miner could bring online, well, it's going to be shopping season for those. Those ones are going to be picked up. So one more thing to keep in mind as you buy stocks is which stocks am I looking at has some real upside. They have good drill results over, say, prospect, but they haven't really done a lot of work, but the results they have are really good. Well, that tells someone that, you know what, if there is gets some really good results and we're buying at early stage, then we don't mind paying a premium because they probably have a lot of good stuff there. So it'll be an exciting time for miners. You can put that down for my end of year prediction, which is that the beginning of next year, I'm not saying for all of next year, but the beginning of next year is going to be quite an exciting time for the mining and gold and silver in particular community.
Lithium, do we have enough of it, and is that a big play?
Oh, my God, it was such heartbreak. Yes, well, now's a great time to buy it. Let me explain what happened, okay? China cracked down on COVID after saying that it was loosening up on COVID and cracked down hard. They had at least 50 cities in lockdown, and these aren't junior towns. These are big cities by anyone's standards, right? They had 50 cities in lockdown like going into the weekend. It was crazy. But the Chinese have had enough because it is brutal. I mean, you get like put on a bus and like sent to this hospital out in the middle of nowhere to try and recover from COVID, or else you get sealed into your apartment. And they have had enough. And also, it isn't just a disruption to their lives and their happiness. It's also a disruption to them making money. You know, I mean, because this has really been a real interference with all sorts of business going on there. And it's also been an interference with those companies that make EV batteries and electric vehicles themselves. So because of the troubles in China, we saw lithium prices dip. This is all the anticipation game. People are expecting that the Chinese companies that make electric batteries will not be making as much. And in fact, they're right. The news just came out, I think it was today, or was it yesterday? I'm not sure. It's all a blur at this point. Anyway, so their work schedules have been interrupted so much that they aren't buying as much lithium, and that caused a dip in the price of lithium. Just that dip was enough to send lithium stocks plunging. But, you know, you have to take into account it's a short-term problem, and the supply-demand squeeze is going to last for years, at least through 2026. So a short-term pullback in lithium is a buying opportunity. It's great. So, yeah, we were holding a bunch of lithium stocks and we got hammered. But I'm looking at a longer term and I'm saying, well, who else do I want to buy at this point? You know? Because now's the time. One metal that is being used, well, let's say the use isn't going up, even though the, like, production of batteries is really increasing, is cobalt. Because they're finding ways to make substitutions around it, because for the amount they use, cobalt is so darned expensive. So they're making more and more substitutions for that all the time. So I wouldn't invest in a cobalt mine at this time, but I'd invest in just about everything else. I think that the EV big trend is still on. You know, we're seeing countries around the world really moving forward on this. We are seeing in the United States, we're seeing actual government subsidies for this. So, you know, it's an exciting time in this space, and certainly having a fire hose of quote-unquote free government money aimed at an industry never hurts. So, yeah, it's a good time to be in lithium, especially with the pullback we've had. This pullback is probably going to be short-term, maybe real short-term, but maybe, you know, maybe it could last a month or two. I don't know. But in any case, the big trend is up, and so you always expect pullbacks, corrections in any trend. We've had one in lithium now. If you've been looking to get into a space, now's a good time.
Yeah, and also if we have another summer fall like we did this year, where in Vancouver, price of gasoline, $2.42 a liter, that's $9.68 a gallon. another summer of that, people probably will be convinced electric's the way to go. In California, at high prices, too.
Well, the whole problem or not the whole problem. Let's say a problem with electric vehicles in North America is charging times, especially when you're traveling. You know, there isn't enough of a charging network, and it takes too long compared to an internal combustion engine to actually fuel up the vehicle. However, NASA has a new system that they say can make the charging of an EV about the equivalent time to fueling up a gasoline-powered car. That's exciting. And also, they are spending money on building out the EV charging network. And since we're talking about energy prices, let's also talk about the fact that the price of natural gas is so high over in Europe that EV battery makers over in Europe are talking about not building new factories in Europe, but building them in North America, because our energy prices are so much lower. So if the old energy is cheap enough to make the new energy really profitable. So that's an interesting development, and I think it was UBS said that the United States could become the EV battery hub of the 21st century. You know, sorry, China. I know they have it now, but they're just looking at what could happen, and because of our cheap costs in energy, that's something China doesn't have. And you need cheap energy in order to build batteries. So there's some real potential there. Of course, you know, it's all what ifs, could this, and like all that stuff. It's up in the air, but it just points out that it's hard to make any hard and fast rules in the lithium EV battery space because things are changing so quickly. You just have to take those opportunities as they come along, and you can make as big a bets as you want, but be prepared to move the other way if they go against you.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, if the U.S. dollar is going down, do you expect this trend to continue, or is it going to level out? And what currency could start rising rapidly, if any?
Well, many of us consider the Canadian dollar a commodity currency, right? That's always good. The Australian dollar is definitely a commodity currency. The New Zealand dollar is a commodity currency. I'd look at those three, personally, if I was looking for something to maybe get into. As for the U.S. dollar, you know, it's breaking support now. It has other support around, I don't know where, let's say 104 and a quarter, which is really close. If it breaks that, then it'll be going down to around 103.5. There's more support there. So there is support on the way down. It's not like we're like breaking into a void with a plunge or anything, you know? It's just that the move that we saw down on Thursday, and you and I are speaking on Thursday, so we're like seeing this, that really broke near-term support that has been in place since November. And in fact, it makes November's move look like a bear flag. What do they say? They say flags fly at half-mast, right? So if started November at 113 and ended it at 105, and so that gives you 8 down from 105, which would give us 98 as a target. Now, that doesn't mean that it has to get there. In fact, it looks like there's much better support around 100 on the U.S. dollar index, and some people playing individual currencies, so they have to do their calculations on how much an individual currency will rise against the U.S. dollar. But looking at the U.S. dollar index, even though there's plenty of support on the way down, I might have 100 as my target. That would be, you know, that looks pretty doable. Right now it's at 104.81 as you and I talk. That's a big move in a currency, and that would be a really big move in gold if, as we have seen recently, gold goes up when the U.S. dollar goes down.
What's going on in the cannabis space?
Well, all right, here's the big disappointment. Monday was supposed to be an announcement about the banking laws in the U.S., but as usual, the Senate failed to get anything done. I don't know if they have glue on their shoes or they can't get around. I don't know what the deal is, but they didn't come up with the announcement they were supposed to make on Monday. or I should say they were rumored to be about to make on Monday. Of course, it's cannabis. Everything travels on rumors, right? It's the fog of war, or in this case, we'll say blue haze of war. So that announcement didn't come, and so cannabis stocks got shellacked. They're just starting to recover now, trying to find some more footing. But really, we need some kind of advancement before this Congress goes home on something good for cannabis, whether it's in banking, whether it's in something else, I don't know. But we really need to see that. Otherwise, we'll probably see lower prices in cannabis. I hate to say it, you know, I mean, because there are plenty of good reasons why cannabis should go higher, but those aren't in play as long as people are thinking that, well, if they can't get banking done, what can they get done, you know? So we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm not really optimistic on that space, which, of course, probably means that it's going to rally to the moon, since I'm not optimistic and have turned away from it. But right now, things don't look that good. Things can change, so it's not like people should write it off, but we really need to see some movement out of Washington, D.C.
Do you think the Democrats will try to legalize it to boost votes going into the next election?
No, they have no time to do that. They're about to lose control of the House of Representatives to Republicans. What they can do is they can get the cannabis banking bill passed, which I forget the exact name of it right now, but basically it would allow federally insured banks to work with cannabis companies. And you could also use Visa and MasterCard and stuff like that when you buy cannabis. Right now you can't. And so that's what everyone was hoping to have happen. And so that's what needs to happen. Will it happen? I don't know. Predictions that it would happen have so far failed to materialize. So that's the kind of situation we're in.
Sean, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, you know, it is December, and odds favor a Santa Claus rally, right? I think the Dow ends December up, I think, 73% of the time, and the NASDAQ and S&P 500 are up there as well. The small caps, by the way, the Russell 2000 actually has the best performance of all the major indices during this month. There is historical perspective, let's say, to see fertile ground for a Santa Claus rally. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of end of year tax loss selling and like stuff like that, but I think that holding on, especially in natural resources, if the dollar is going lower, which it seems to be doing, might be a good way to play this holiday season.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks. I had a great time.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.